opportunity for a Capital Call program as we check in with our legislative team on this Friday morning. Capital Call brought to you this morning by Phillip 66. And only because he was the first one in the building this morning, Darrell Fincher. Good morning, sir. Thank you for coming in today.
Good morning. Thank you, Charlie. So pleased to be here.
And I'm sure another busy week in Oklahoma City.
Oh, yes, yes. Senator Daniels and Representative Strom, when he will also talk about just how busy and crazy it actually gets during this week. Thank you, Senator. I didn't know how crazy it was, but I can't believe you lived through all of this before.
I was amazed that you actually came to visit me on the floor of the Senate. That was the first time you'd been there, and I don't know how you even managed to escape the House to come over, but I was glad to have you visit on the floor.
Well, it was great to come in, and let me tell you, you know, I've kind of felt like our, you know, the House chamber sometimes feels a bit like a sports bar. It was like going to fine dining to come see you over there. Everybody's quiet. You have space. You can actually walk around your desk without bumping into somebody. To me, that was just amazing.
Well, your description is apt. Yes, I will sign on to that.
You're in the middle of a vote, and it's like dead silent. Is anybody actually in here? And I realized every senator was in there mostly, and it just looks empty.
And they were not asleep. They were just silent.
And exactly. That's required, kind of, isn't it?
My assumption is that just like the federal level, that the Senate,
the more senior, so to speak, chamber, you play by different expectations, I guess is a fair way to say it.
Well, there's only half as many of us.
Well, that's true.
Even
too.
If we wanted to stir up trouble, we still wouldn't be as noisy as the House.
Good point. Good, all three of you in here this morning. Nice to have the remaining House member. Thanks for coming in. You've been otherwise occupied the last few weeks.
It will be noted that Representative Strom looks fairly sporty this morning. Darrell and I are still wearing the clothes we wore at the Capitol yesterday.
That's too much information, Senator. Good morning.
I actually went home after a very long and stressful week and had a great night's rest. I got up this morning and just moved around the house slowly, drank my coffee, and looked out the window at the horses and the cattle and kind of took my time this morning.
What do you think you are, a civilian? just because there's two House members here, House started us off, if you like. Mr. Fincher.
Yes, on the House, I think there's so much to cover, we're not going to hit it all, and I know people have questions.
I probably won't even bring up the page program unless you choose to.
I will leave that to Representative Strom to cover. Just a couple of things. Well, actually, let me just cover briefly. We really don't know any more than's been out there. We will find out much more when we meet with the Speaker on Monday. Big things, the House passed the Legislative Budget Office that will then go to the Senate. We're trying to run like a $7 billion budget with just six staffers. That's crazy. And so the Legislative Budget Office will actually help us get a better handle on that. Big thing is we did a COLA for state retirees. So if you're on a state retirees, it's a 4% COLA. Of course, I went back and checked inflation. It's gone up about 15% or a little bit more since the last COLA, so it doesn't make it up. But at least we're trying to do something. We know there are budget impacts, but it's really crazy. Past things, we did a teacher tax credit, $1,000 for teachers. And as you heard, we passed a pay raise earlier. Those all go to the Senate. Those will be part of the budget negotiations. Passed a Transparency Act for charters that will help actually assure people that we're actually getting good comparative data between charters, virtual and otherwise. And we have a district, many people don't know it, that's run by a management company. And so this bill will cover all of those. We also reduce the burden of if you've been convicted of actually getting an occupational license before, you really couldn't get anything. Now, unless your conviction is directly related to the occupation, mm-hmm. you're able to go ahead and have a license. And, you know, this really helps people. For example, anybody who had been convicted before couldn't get a license to serve alcoholic beverages. Well, if you're a server in a restaurant, that cuts out a lot of restaurants here in Oklahoma. And my first bill mm-hmm. went across the floor. That was the Oklahoma's Virtually Everywhere Act, which we can talk about later, and Senator Daniels has agreed to sponsor it on the House floor. And I've actually got the Secretary of Digital Transformation having a meeting with him on Monday, because my whole goal is when she shows up with it, she's got this list of endorsements. So she doesn't have to really sell it. She says all these other people would like to have it. So I'm going to kick it over to the next person instead of taking all the airtime.
Okay. Good morning, sir. Mr.
Morning.
Strom.
One thing that I think a lot of people don't point out that'll really affect a lot of people, not only in my district, but across the whole state, was I think it was was it 2632, was a pharmacy benefits management bill. And I know some of our local businesses here in town were very interested in that bill, but really all of the people of Oklahoma should look at this, and I think it's important for all the people. Ultimately, I think this will bring down drug prices for our seniors, for everyone. Also, it will give people the opportunity to choose the pharmacy that they go to and receive their drugs, and that's a major expense I know a lot of people fight. And then the people of Bartlesville, I know we had one event. I passed legislation off of the floor in the wee hours of the evening on Wednesday that pertains to skimmers and scanners and card readers, and makes it actually a felony in the state of Oklahoma to possess or to sell or transmit an instrument that is a skimmer or scanner for credit card fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was very important legislation. I was glad to see it go through.
It certainly affects a lot of people's money. Hopefully, mm-hmm. when it's detected, there are procedures to make you whole, but nonetheless, still affects a lot of people, even on the short term.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Well, we also passed the Companion Loft Act, Legislative Office of Fiscal Transparency. Yes. And we look forward to doing more forensic-type activities within our fiscal staff that's going to be shared by both the House and the Senate to give us better and perhaps truer numbers on the budget and also allow us to do our own performance audits of different programs. So glad to see that go over. Huge week. So many significant things happening in such a short period of time, they kind of lose their significance. But these five reforms we did to these large state agencies. You know, the biggest spender is the State Department of Education, and then you've also got higher ed and career tech in there at a lesser level. So all those three education ones are separate. But healthcare authority, juvenile affairs, transportation, name me another one.
Oh.
Well, anyway, there were five of them.
Right.
And we, each, the House and the Senate, got those reforms made. They're all aligned. And then we broke to go to a signing ceremony, which was very interesting for me because 30 minutes before the signing ceremony, I was presiding over the Senate, and they brought in the acts to be signed. So the governor signed, and I was on there too. I mean, just kind of a special thing for me to be involved in that way in government reform. So we did those. I passed a free speech protection on campus bill. I was very pleased to get that done. Pleased to get one Democrat vote from the other party, and going to send that on over here pretty quick. Then on the Senate side, we got involved in abortion pro-life issues this year. That was not in the House, but of course we're going to send this to them. And in the end, what we did was pass Senate Bill 195 to offer to the electorate in 2020 a constitutional amendment that would specify that our Constitution does not imply any right to an abortion. Because what's happening nationwide in the aftermath of Roe back in 1973 is that groups are going around to states and looking at state constitutions and trying to find ways to imply that there is such a right. So this would say to the people of Oklahoma, we do not want our court system to be able to imply or find some unwritten right to an abortion. So that's what we will do to clarify our opinions as Oklahoma on this really critical subject.
My words, not legal language, but an actual specified non-right, so to speak.
Exactly. So that when we do send abortion-limiting legislation and it gets challenged in court, our Supreme Court will refer back to our Constitution and say, the people of Oklahoma do not imply such a right. You cannot construe the language of a particular bill or the fact that it's silent to grant such a right. There will be more on this later. I think it's very clearly written, but it came late in the week. That's how quickly things can change. We did a little bit of tweaking to the opioid restriction legislation that was passed last year that was really damaging to some folks in acute pain or people with chronic pain. It mainly amended the parts about acute pain so that you could get a 7-day prescription and the doctor could write you an additional prescription at the same time, but it would say you can't fill it before a certain date and you can't fill it after a certain date. And that would allow people who are homebound or in rural areas to not have to go back into the physician to get that second round of a pain managing medication. And then in education, we sent over a tax credit scholarship bill that raises the cap on the public education grants and the scholarship grants right now, $10 million each. I think there are negotiations going on because the title is off to raise those more. We've got the public educators now interested in the public education improvement grant side, maybe allowing those donations to go straight to a public school foundation and not a separate 501c3 so that more communities could benefit from those. We did some multi-year contracts for teachers, did some tweaking to the state aid formula and the Reading Sufficiency Act, and we added some STEM classes at Career Tech to qualify for meeting some of the high school requirements for math and science in terms of math and computer science, because those programs at Career Tech are becoming more and more significant and robust and more students taking advantage of that. So they ought to be able to get credit towards their high school degree by taking those courses.
Okay. Sounds, yes, sir. Mr. Fincher.
Thank you. Just want to add one thing. I want to make sure we get it in here before we turn off there. I want to give a shout out to Bartlesville's own Forrest Bennett, who is a Democratic representative down in Oklahoma City. It's because he had a unicorn vote. Now, you have to understand, with 101 members, it's hard to get us all in there at the same time, and votes are happening so fast. He had a unicorn vote. He passed a bill, and it's a unicorn because he had 101 green eyes. Everybody showed up. Everybody voted yes on his bill. Just amazing. We got a little rowdy at that.
It's probably a good reason for a celebration on that one.
I just want to mention one other thing. We talk a lot about education and budgets and things, but there are some other critical functions of state government. And I co-authored and was allowed to present a bill that will provide for environmental self-audits, requested by the Secretary of Energy, went through our Energy Committee, of which I'm a member, and it would allow companies to conduct their own audit of their own circumstances and mitigate any environmental problems that they see, or go to the regulatory agency and say, here, we found this. Can you work with us to take care of this? Or they might find a potential problem that they could take care of before it becomes an environmental problem. It's significant legislation. The EPA likes it. It's been in Texas for over 20 years. But it does make companies very vulnerable. If you go out and assess and find that you have a problem in a facility or an operation, you have to be protected somewhat for having discovered this information and being willing to act on it. So the bill has a lot of confidentiality provisions and privilege provisions, but really excited to get that passed, because if we can mitigate environmental damage before it becomes too great, or we can find a problem and correct it before it is a problem, that's good for all of us, and it's good for the bottom line of those companies as well. So we will send that over to the House this next week.
Does it have some... Again, I'm probably not using the right language, hold harmless, so that once you self-identify a problem, that nobody's going to come after you for the first X period of time?
That's right, and that's why the privilege and the confidentiality. Unless, of course, you find a problem and a certain period of time goes on and you fail to mitigate it, or you find a problem and you don't own up to it. There are also exceptions to that privilege, very precise in the bill, and things about legal actions and what you can disclose, and Open Meetings Open Records Act. But it's a significant piece of legislation for Oklahoma. It's a real reform in the environmental area. And so wanted to bring that up because that's not a topic we often discuss.
Absolutely. Well, we do have a couple of minutes left. And Josh, we really haven't heard much from your neighborhood here. I want to make sure that your voters are equally represented as far as time and words on the air.
I'm glad to be home after the week that we had. I will say the House joined, I think, with 12 other state governments, a Fitbit challenge, a health challenge. And I've never been a smartwatch person or anything like that, but I thought I'm going to get in on this deal. So I got a Fitbit, and every day, at least of the last week, I've been over 10,000 steps. I've been over 30 flights of stairs up and down and all over the Capitol. It's a long ways over to Senator Daniel's office if I have to go over and get into something. But the funniest thing is it'll send me a message and say, "You're doing great. Let's stop for 2 minutes and take a calm breath." And I just have to laugh at it and say, "Not right now, Fitbit. Not right now."
Well, I think next week the Senate's going to be in session Monday through Wednesday. I believe the House is going to be in session Monday and Tuesday. It's a quieter week. Mm-hmm. We start to receive bills. No House bills have been assigned to Judiciary yet. They won't start that till Monday. So it will be a quiet week. It's sort of spring break week. And so we'll go a little slower. And then the week after that, we hit it hard again and start all the committee work all over again.
In a little inside radio moment, I see Mr. Fincher chuckling a little bit on your use of the word quiet, I think. But I'll just leave that alone and call it an inside joke. Thank you so much for your reports. And again, thank you for last week's event at Tri-County on your eggs and issues. I brought a lot of good information coming out on that one.
And thank you, Phillips 66, for sponsoring Capital Call.
And that's our Capital Call program on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. And we've got Brew and Buzz coming up in just moments.
That's not the sound of a full tank.